Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared.
And I am Dan.
Whoa. What's up, bud?
What's up? I didn't even let you introduce me. I just came in full throttle.
That's okay. Your hair is like a beautiful mane today.
I know, it's gorgeous today. Because I took it out of the ponytail and it's end of story, man.
What a great story. If you like stories like this, you're going to love listening to the Indie Film Review. Hey, so, you know, we watched the movie. That's what we do.
Yeah, we watched a listener-submitted film, a filmmaker-submitted film. It is called Bullied. Jared, do you have any deets on it?
Yeah, so Bullied came out this year, directed by Angela Howe. But yeah, we're gonna talk about it.
Okay, so Bullied is a film about a girl who is bullied.
This is story of a girl who got bullied.
Charlotte is a girl who is bullied, and she's bullied by the kind of star. We'll just say this: Charlotte isn't. She's not white, and she's a minority, and that kind of factors into why she's bullied a lot. Because she's bullied by, like, this, you know, the most popular girl in school that, like, all the teachers, the principal loves, like, but she's a total asshole to this girl, Charlotte, simply because she's a minority. Anyway, so Charlotte basically gets in trouble for defending herself, and she goes home, her parents reprimand her, and then just say, you know, you got to do better, you got to listen to the administration. You know, basically, they kind of say, it's all your fault too, so she doesn't really have any support at home. Except for maybe dad, who's like, just, dad's like, next time don't get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Then the mom invites her friends over for a Christmas get-together. It's another Christmas movie, interesting. And dad gets whiskey. Like a very fancy whiskey, and they all have a grand old time and they drink, and there's whiskey left over whenever all the adults go to bed. And Charlotte wakes up, or just pretends to go to sleep, goes out, steals the whiskey, goes out into this, they live in this little pond area, like a dried out pond, and they can access it via this gate. So she goes out there and starts drinking it, and then she's confronted once more by the bully at, like, I don't know, 1 a.m. in the morning. Something like that. And then shit happens from there. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. So questions. Dan.
Yes.
What'd you think about this child acting, this chacting in this movie?
The chacting was, I don't know, like some of it was okay. Some of it was better than others, I guess. It didn't take me out of the film at all. I feel like,
yeah, I agree.
Certain emotions from Charlotte could have been conveyed a little bit better because she's the main character, but I was so concerned with the overall narrative and how that made me feel that acting didn't really give me any flack. Like, I was not paying attention to the acting because I was so involved with, like, I cannot fucking believe this just happened and I have to sit with it. So I'll talk about that in spoilers. Like, there's this, the first twist is insane and you have to sit with it for a while.
Yeah, this movie goes from 1 to 100 pretty fucking fast.
But what I liked about it is it stayed at 100.
Yeah.
For me.
This movie kind of gives you like family vibes. Like I thought this was just going to be like a family movie about bullying.
Yeah, right. But it doesn't do
then
that.
You watch it and it's some of the most horrifying shit that you can cover in a film. And there's no warning, really, even in the description. Like, the things that happen in it, we haven't talked about. We're going to talk about in spoilers, but I'm like, what the fuck? Dan, like, who is this movie for? Because I
Jared,
think,
I don't know. So, okay, so that's a good question. I have no idea who this movie's for. It's for me. Like, this movie was for me. It was delivered to us in the Indie Film Review, and it's like, hey, open this up for Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. I'm like, okay, Christmas movie? Oh, this is one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Uh-huh.
Top 10 Christmas movies, for sure.
God damn it. Are you being serious?
Yeah, if we're going to classify this as a Christmas movie because it comes around Christmas time, then oh, yes. Man. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like the affect of this movie is genius. That's what I want to say about that. So Jared, my question to you, well, okay, maybe not so much, because I do have a gripe that I have to talk about in spoilers too.
Well, because you're saying genius and favorite Christmas movie.
Well, okay, my list of favorite Christmas movies is very short. It is Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, and that's it.
I love that movie.
I don't know. I don't like cheery, feel-good Christmas movies. They bother me.
This certainly is not a cheery, feel-good Christmas
movie. No, it's not, and that's why I liked it so much. Anyway, my question to you, Jared, is how did you feel about the fact that there are two twists in this movie? Did one twist detract from another twist, is my question.
So, I read an interview. If you go to the website of rocksugar.com, which is the original name for the film, there's an interview on there with the director, and she addresses this question.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, she talks about how both of the stories were intentionally supposed to be that way, and how one story is like the A story, like the bullying story, and then the B story, which we'll talk about in spoilers, is supposed to be parallel with that one. And it's supposed to show that, like, there's bullying of all types.
See, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yes.
But I feel like it kind of fell on its face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I can see where the narrative was going and where it wanted to go, but it felt too shoehorned in.
It would be like if you had an action movie about aliens, and then halfway through the film, demons exploded from the center of the earth. And now it's like, oh, we got to fight these demons now. And it's like, we've completely forgotten about the extraterrestrial alien. It was such an abrupt turn that it made the first story inconsequential to me. The second story consumed the first story.
Yeah, but
in my mind.
See, and I agree with that. And what's disappointing is that first story was so damn good.
Yeah, I'd rather what a great premise. Like, just stick with the first premise of this movie.
And explore it further. Like, explore the consequences of that premise.
Yes. I don't think the second part should have been in this.
Okay,
at all.
So, well, let's start spoiling it. Because I feel like we have a lot to say about it. You have another question?
No, we should get into it. Let's do it.
Okay. So, spoiling this movie, here we go. This movie will come out soon, and you will watch it, and I don't know, we'll see if we can recommend it by the end. I feel like an analysis will give us some good thoughts. All right,
yeah, I apologize, because I can't find where it is streaming currently, so I'm thinking it's not released yet.
The first twist of this film is whenever she's confronted by the bully at night with the bully swipes the whiskey from her, and then she tries to get it back. Charlotte tries to get it back and pushes the bully. The bully hits a rock with her head. And as far as we know as an audience, the bully dies.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Charlotte do? She kind of freaks out a little bit. But what I liked about Charlotte is she's so deadpan. Like, she's literally a psychopath. Like, she doesn't necessarily emote during this whole thing. And I kind of like that aspect of it. Anyway, she doesn't know what to do. So she takes the body back home and hides it in this little enclave below a treehouse that they have. And goes about her day with her parents. And you have to realize that there's a dead body in the backyard that nobody knows about, and it's, you know, a little girl that's definitely going to be searched for.
I like this premise a lot, but
what it reminded me of, and I'm not saying that it's exactly like this, but if we went through with this premise and explored all the implications, like she actually gets in trouble, this would have felt like a film akin to We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, the film is definitely more focused on the bullying aspect. So then this whole thing of, like, the bully is killed and then she's got to hide the body and there's all these consequences. It's strange because, again, in this interview she does, she's like, oh, I wanted to show that there's consequences to being bullied. And I'm like, are the consequences that the person you're bullying is going to kill you and put you in a wheelbarrow and then their entire lives are ruined because now they've murdered someone? I'm just like, this is fucking intense. But I like the idea that she's kind of a little psychopath. Mm-hmm. Because how does she not immediately go and tell her family mm-hmm. or the first adult? These kids are like 11, 12 years old. If I accidentally thought I killed someone, there's no way I would be able to keep that to myself. So either I think she should have probably told someone, which would have ruined the premise, or explain a little bit more that she's different from other little girls, right? That she is not the type of person. Like, I mean, show some scenes beforehand that would indicate.
I don't think that. I don't think that would be... I don't think that's necessary. Like, I see your point, but I think if you just kept going with the same premise and have her react to situations, that would have told you more. So you don't need to add scenes. Well, you don't need to add scenes at the beginning to like preface it. You just need to have her react to the whole scenario.
Well, what about her like digging into the dirt? You know, that whole scene, she's trying to dig a grave for this little girl. God damn it. I guess she did that pretty deadpan too. She's like, all right, digging a grave.
Well, because she doesn't want to get caught. It's not that she's remorseful. She's like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of like, she was ready to get away with the murder. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, I'm ready. Like, this is not going to affect my life in any way. I'm just going to get rid of this problem. Wow. Okay, what were you going to say?
I was going to lead up to the second premise.
Oh, I feel like already we have such a huge meal in front of us that I could keep talking about.
Well, then let's keep talking about it.
But no. I want people to feel the same way I did when I watched this movie. Now, Dan, tell us what the second premise
is. Okay, the second premise is... I do want to address this because this was weird. So before I get into the second premise, I got really weird vibes from the mom's friend.
Yeah, he did a really good job of giving weird vibes.
Yeah, whenever she's like... They're all at dinner and then they're like, hey... you know, these potatoes are great. And then the dad says, oh yeah, me and Charlotte grew them ourselves. And then she kind of dismisses it. And then she's like, hey, I should show you how to bake this really good side dish. And I thought that was a form of adult bullying, you know, like you're subpar and I'm going to show you how to make real food. Like that's the vibe I got from it. But then as I watched on, I don't think that was intentional. Like, I feel like I read too much into it. So it was a weird vibe that I got from the mom or the mom's friend. Now, the mom's friend has a husband. And here's the other twist. The husband, it is implied that he is a gross individual who likes children. And there's a scene where he, you know, puts his hand on Charlotte's sister and Charlotte looks at it and just like, oh, that's weird. Anyway.
It's not implied. He's a straight up child rapist who goes to the park.
Well, yeah. So
to rape children while visiting friends.
What? God, you don't have to put it that way.
Yeah. During Christmas.
Oh God. No.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
While his pregnant wife waits for him at home.
Oh, stop.
And he tells his wife like, I'm just not feeling too good. I'm just going to go for a walk. I wonder how long his walks last.
Here's where it shoehorns itself into the first plot, the first premise. Bully wakes up with a knot on her head.
Yeah.
And Charlotte finds Bully about to be molested by this dude in the forest. And Charlotte, hero of the day, whacks him with a branch and leaves him in the dust and takes the bully home. And Bully's found, that's great. But now Charlotte has to deal with bully number two, which is this predator who doesn't say anything whenever he's in, you know, with his wife. And Charlotte doesn't say anything either. But then there's another scene where everybody's out of the house and predator comes back and tries to get revenge on Charlotte.
See, that felt like it was too much. I feel like...
Well, I think... Okay, let's stop. I'll let you speak. I'm sorry. I'm trampling over you. But I think the fact that... Well, we've already said it. The fact that there is a pedophile predator in this film is already too much.
Yes.
Because it deviated the interesting premise.
I could have been more on board if the ending... So if the movie just ended where... We have Charlotte tells her dad, which is a good scene because she gives him a face like, oh, I'm going to tell you something really bad. Then it cuts away. And then the dad runs in and punches the friend in the face. He's like, you son of a bitch. And then it kind of does like a slow-mo cut of him being like, yep, they're going to get divorced. And but instead of saying he's going to go to jail, they say, oh, he's just going to go back home. And I'm like, no, no, no. He goes to jail now. Like, what are we doing? I guess they didn't turn him into the police. Wouldn't you think that, like, oh, a girl went missing, and then I find out my wife's husband, like friend's husband, is an abductee rapist person? Like, maybe he was involved. Like, I don't get how the police never got involved in all this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the film should have ended right there. Like, oh, okay, Charlotte, you did it. You defeated both the bullies. But then we have like, she goes to like Taekwondo or whatever, and then she comes back and this grown man is there to confront this small girl. And there's already the known implicator that he is a rapist. And he's like, oh, I've come to finish. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's and another thing that I don't want to say it bothers me. It kind of does, but I don't want it to detract from anybody's enjoyment of the film.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want it to sound like I'm harping on the film too much, but to equate predatory pedophilia to bullying,
it's weird.
That sounds like it trivializes, you know, how serious of a offense that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, because that's just the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, I don't want to be like, I don't want to shit on this movie because, you know, I did enjoy a lot of the film, and I think the filmmakers are great, and I think they have a lot of talent. But that theme made me a little bit iffy.
Yeah, strange. I think this film was pretty well put together.
Absolutely. Like, despite my qualms with the forked narrative, I think the first narrative, it held me enough to where, I don't know, like, it was so, so just intense. Like, this girl's going to get caught. Oh my God. She doesn't give a shit.
It was strong enough.
Yeah.
It was, you had a solid foundation there already. I don't think we needed that the second plot, because there's just so many things. My mind was just spiraling out of control, thinking about all the different implications of what's going on and why.
When I just, like, you know, the film, the title Bullied, it made me like, okay, this is going to be a film about bullies and like, we're going to learn, but
it isn't because of the second part. It's just like a totally different thing.
Well, what I'm saying is I wasn't even expecting anybody to die.
Oh, that was a fun, interesting idea. But I also feel like Charlotte should have had consequences to what had happened, even if it was an accident. I mean, she also, okay, it was an accident, but then she tried to hide the body and everything. Like, that's criminal. That's
post-meditation.
I mean, she's a child,
yeah.
Yes, but you gotta have counseling or something to help this girl, because how is she going to deal with problems in the future? Like, that's, it's strange. Her way of thinking is.
And I mean, that also calls into question the title Bullied. Like, is the person being bullied always going to be this like social outcast that has the potential to be like sociopathic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is that too stereotypical? But then I think about how great that character is written. Like, it needs to be that way, I think.
Okay, well, did you think that the bullying in this movie was believable?
I see what you're saying. You know, it's weird because I work in a high school and I see some bullying still, but more often than not, like, just bullying to me feels like it's out the door. Like, you still see people, you know, tease each other, but generally speaking, in my high school, kids are cordial to each other. So I don't know. It felt so cliche, I guess, is the best word to describe.
Yeah,
it.
I mean, I can definitely see how a little white girl was like grown up to hate minorities, and she's like, oh, this girl's different than me, so I'm gonna try to like make her life a living hell. But she tries to kill the main character. And she like shows up to
this
field.
Oh, I forgot to say that. That is what happens.
In the middle of the night, she smashes the whiskey bottle that Charlotte was drinking from and is like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And she swipes at her at first, cuts her, and then goes in to stab her to death. And that's why she gets thrown and falls on a rock.
So that opens up more questions.
That's fucking intense.
It is intense. And it's also asking me, my brain is like, hey, brain, I mean, Dan, hey, Dan, this is your brain talking.
This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain. Anyway, what I like, that's a second fucking psychopath.
Yeah. When two psychos meet.
What is that saying about this youthful generation? Like,
I mean, kids are little psychopaths. Let's not get that wrong. I'm just saying, I feel like when I was bullied, when I was young, it wasn't so much physical as it was mental fucking torture. All right? It was things that you either couldn't prove or you couldn't combat against, and it was less physical. So but I'm not saying that stuff doesn't happen. It does.
So what you're saying is this film, and by that remark, the filmmakers bullied me with this knowledge that, you know, this dramatic irony that I know that this girl just murdered somebody and dad's not going to find out. And I have this psychological torment like, oh, God, she needs to get reprimanded for this. Oh, no. And she never does. So that's psychological torment, right? No, I'm just kidding.
So I think this movie has its heart in the right place. And I like what it was trying to say. And I think there are some things that are enjoyable in this film.
There's a lot that's enjoyable. Even with, I'm sorry, you go.
Dan, excuse me. I know, Dan, you're very passionate about this. And that's good.
Yeah.
The fact that at the very end of the film, we have Charlotte sitting on a bench, a park bench, the same park where this girl got raped, I guess. That's all I can think of is we're at the same place. And the bully shows up and sits next to her and is like, hey, I really like your dog. I think he's cute. And hey, we're like cool now. We're friends. Oh, this whole like bully thing, part of it was that the bully took a picture of Charlotte while she was using the toilet.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And then she's like, oh, I want you to go and take a picture of something else that's bad. And then I'm blackmailing you, basically. I mean, I guess it happens. I don't know. But
no, that shit does happen.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the fact that the bully is now like, oh, we're friends now. I'm like, I don't think that's how people work. I mean, it is a movie and you only have an hour and a half or whatever to try to like make this stuff happen. I do like how ambiguous it is, though. You're not sure if she just imagined it or if it really did happen. I don't know.
Even with the things that I had a problem with. So the second narrative, even though I'm like, does this really need to be here? It was shot amazingly well. That narrative made sense on its own. Like, it could have been its own movie. You know what I mean? So there's, I don't know. Like, the thing is, there's just so much going on here. And the film is already, like, only an hour and 15 minutes long. Like, you have to kind of pick and choose your battles, I think.
I mean, he chloroforms a little girl in the park and then takes off his belt. And I'm just like, why? What is this, irreversible? I don't want to fucking watch this.
There's a myriad of reasons as to why, like, you know, just having a pure evil antagonist. Again, we could have explored Charlotte as the antagonist. Like, we think that she's the protagonist because she's the bully, but then it turns out that she's a psychopath and has no remorse for killing this girl.
Yeah, it at can all. Certainly feel that way, but I feel like that is completely against the intention of what the film is.
Maybe.
But it's an interesting idea. I mean, I would have loved them playing around with that. Like, the bully becomes the bully in a way, and like, we can all be bullies.
Well, that's what I thought it was going for.
Without realizing.
I thought it was going to have like layers of bullying. Because, like I said, that one mom's friend, she sounded really condescending. And I'm like, ooh, are we going to explore just, like, how adults get bullied, too? Because adults do get bullied.
Bullyception.
Yeah, bullyception.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, like, what if the dad was getting bullied at work? And then the daughter's getting bullied. And maybe, like, the dad is just too into his own shit to even realize that his daughter's actually getting bullied. Or, you know, and then, yeah, that would have been interesting. And like, everyone's getting bullied. It doesn't matter what age you are, who you are. You get fucking bullied. You know, it's rampant. That would have been interesting.
And then in the end of the film, dad joins hands with daughter, and daughter joins
Hands Across America.
Yeah, Hands Across America, and they all start singing "We Are the World."
We are the world.
We are the children. I think that's how it goes.
God damn it. All right, closing thoughts, Dan. What do you think?
I want to say, like, my final thought is separate the two movies. Like, make two different movies. Because they're both very interesting premises. One of them's going to be a lot harder to watch because it's gross.
I mean, take one idea and unravel it as much as you can and explore it. I'd also say the camera work in this was good, but it wasn't keeping my interest as much as I would have hoped. We could have more interesting camera work to kind of guide us through the story.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, like, I've kind of gotten in a habit of, like, not saying, like, unless the cinematography is piss poor, I'm not going to bring it up, you know? So, like, it was shot well, like, it was competently made, but you're right, it didn't have, like, those gotcha moments, like, oh my god, this is an amazing camera flick, or, you know.
Well, because I was feeling myself drift away sometimes, and I feel like good camera work can kind of keep you engaged.
I think that's true, but I also think that the narrative of a girl being dead in the backyard and...
No, when that kicked in, I was very interested, but, you know, leading up to that, I was like, okay, all right. Again, a very good premise. Okay, so that's the podcast. Thank you all for listening.
You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Filmmakers, give us your films at that email address. Also, we have a Patreon specifically for filmmakers, but if you're a fan, you can also donate. It's fine too, but we have three different tiers. You got your $1 tier. That's for fans. You got your $2 tiers, and that's for super fans. But your $5 tier, I mean, you could be a super, super duper fan and be that
super,
but
duper.
That $5 tier is primarily for filmmakers who want to get their films bumped up to a shorter waiting list, because our current wait time for film submissions, because our list is so big, is about 6 months. So if you don't want to wait for 6 months, if you have a press embargo to meet, that would be ideal for you, I think.
Yeah,
it's just $5.
Yep.
For now.
And as of now, it's $5. Yeah. Like, I mean, we've been able to handle the five, because, like, sometimes we'll get two or three in a row, and it kind of piles up. But if that ever becomes too much, we might have to start raising the price just to stop people from doing it. So, because, like, I don't want to end up with a whole another complete list, and then that list is going to be like 3 or 4 months long. So it's like, god damn it. But yep, there you go. That's the show. Necropodicon.com. Go check it out. Sons of the Fathers. I'm on that show. It's really good. It's a Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. You should fucking check it out. It's fantastic. Paul puts a lot of work into it. He's the creator. He's a great DM. And yeah, go check it out. Fuck you. Okay, Dan, you have the final word.
What was that other song? By Michael Jackson. There are people dying. Something, something to live in. Make a better world for you.
Thank you, Michael.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.